Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Jesus. Oh, Father, we exalt you this morning. We declare that victory belongs to Jesus. That in our lives, victory belongs to Jesus. Whatever situation we are going through, victory belongs to Jesus. Oh, Father, we tap into the victory of the cross established for us for eternity. We will not shake. We will not tremble. The dew of heaven is ours. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, brethren. You can be seated, please. We thank God for this morning, this opportunity to share His word. I am really grateful and appreciate our senior pastor for this opportunity to minister to God's people this morning. It's a wonderful thing to walk with God. It's a wonderful thing to walk with God. Before we start, I would like us to take our confession for this year. As Pastor Muyiwa said, it's already July 20th. it's amazing, right?
Yes.
Really amazing. When they say when you're having fun, time flies. I hope you're having fun. I am having fun. I am having fun. Hallelujah. I am having fun.
I am having fun.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take our confession. We have it on the overboard there. 2, 3. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee. And I will thrive in 2025. All debts are cancelled and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began this work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order. And this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountains? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything. Through him who infuses inner strength into me, I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. There will be nothing missing, nothing broken. We should not settle for less. Praise the Lord. We should not settle for less. If you know your God, if you know the God who promised all these promises, then tell yourself, I will not settle for less. I will not settle for less. Now, we are going to be the head wherever we are. God's desire for us is the best. Hallelujah. God wants us to have good health. God wants us to be the best in what we do, business-wise. We need to be able to sit down and come up with business ideas that generate income for God. Hallelujah. We should not settle for less. That's not what I'm talking this morning. I'm not going to share about that this morning. I just have it in my spirit. It's like we are settling for less. We shouldn't. The Holy Spirit is trying to tell us, don't settle for less. Amen. It's something I always try to put in our kids' mind. You have the gift. You have the talent. Whatever you see people do out there, you can do better. And so you have to go out with this faith and confidence every day that you can be the first in your class, that you can be the best soccer player you can ever be. Just have that belief that you will not settle for less. Praise the Lord. Growing up when we were in class, if you had to look at the people who were top in class, go behind, you will notice one thing. They were children of God. They were following God. They were serving God. Because Christianity, the life of a believer, teaches us to be disciplined and teaches us to have results. So this is one of the benefits I had, because when I gave my life to Christ, I was, I think, 17 years old. So one of the benefits I had was I was able to discipline myself, go through all my exams, pass them, and go along. Not because I was smart, but because I got into a culture of believers who wanted me to excel. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want us to talk about something which we have talked before. But I named it Creating Consistency Creates a Life That Is Intimately Acquainted with God. This morning, I want us to talk about being intimately acquainted with God. That big word that you see, intimately acquainted with God. When we say, when we talk about acquainted, what do we mean? We mean you are used to something. Amen. Don't say, but I think I've heard this before. Yes, you've heard it before, because we've talked about it. Amen. We've talked about it, but there's a reason why God wants us to still talk about it. If we look at the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 1, there's something there which the Apostle Paul said. Philippians chapter 3 verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Amen? So I'm writing the same things to you. I'm trying to remind you about certain things I've talked before. I have no problem with it, but for you it's safe. Why is it safe? Because maybe you have along the way forgotten the things which I told you about. We are in July. There are so many things that we've learned that the pastor has taken time to share with us as he's been led by the Holy Spirit. There's one thing that this year I told myself, I want to be intimately acquainted with God. I want to know God. It has to be God. I'm reminded of the Garden of Eden. Why was it so special? Why was the Garden of Eden so special? Why did God create a special garden and put man there and say, take care of it? Why did God do that? The main purpose for the Garden of Eden was for Adam and Eve to fellowship with God. Praise the Lord. God wants us to fellowship with Him. God is demanding us to fellowship with Him. That is why when Adam and Eve, when they fell, God's heart was longing for some fellowship with man. And from that moment, God created a plan to bring man back to Him. The cross on Golgotha, that plan was initiated when man fell in the Garden of Eden. If we look at the book of Genesis chapter 5, the book of Genesis chapter 5 is a story which will be familiar with many of us. Verse 24. Genesis chapter 5 verse 24. It says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now if you follow that story, when man fell, God had not seen somebody like Enoch who walked with him. He had not seen somebody on the earth like Enoch who walked with him, who prioritized fellowship with God in their lives. When God saw Enoch, God was like, wow, an Eden experience is here. Do I want to miss this Eden experience? God said, no, this one will not die. I need him here in heaven. This one will not die because he has prioritized his relationship with me. Since Eden, something I've been looking for with man, God took Enoch. Do you know that Enoch's son was the oldest person who lived on earth, recorded? Methuselah, you know that, right? The father did not live long enough, but the son lived longer because of the faithfulness of the father. Hallelujah. We have been called to be faithful. That blessing of faithfulness will not only touch us, it will touch our children and our children's children. Amen. Hallelujah. Because even Methuselah was whose grandfather? Noah. Methuselah's grandson, Noah, was the one God used to reset humanity after the earth had gone so far away from God. When God said, all the inclinations of man is just evil. Hallelujah. So this morning, I would like us to challenge ourselves. Challenge yourself and ask yourself, am I intimately acquainted with God? Intimately acquainted with God. Do I know God personally? Do I know God personally? What does John 17:3 tell us? Do I know God personally? That was Jesus' cry. He said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's a prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. His prayer for us is that we might know God. Now, there are things which we come across in life because we've not prioritized God. We've not. There are many things that we come across in life because we have not put God first. We have not given God the place that he demands from us. That was the Lord's prayer. And I bet you that prayer, God will answer it in your life. If you would John, or let me, James 4:8. If you would do James 4:8, God will answer that prayer in your life. What does James 4:8 say? It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Say, draw near to God. It's not God drawing near to us. It's us drawing near to God. It's us when we come and we say, Father, in the morning. And he says, okay, my son is here or my daughter is here. How can I help you? And then we pour out our hearts before God. It's an automatic response. God will always draw near to anybody who sincerely draws near to them or to him. Amen. And this is not something that is reserved only for adults. It's not only reserved for your parents, your father and your mother. Knowing God is something personal. Standing before God, you stand personally as an individual. God will not come and say, okay, I'm waiting for the Bekondo family. Where are you? No, on that day, God will say, Kermit, where are you? Let's take an account of what happened on earth. Let's take an account. And he will give everything. Pass through all the judgment and I will go. And he will call another person individually. There is power in corporate knowledge. There is, you know, that's why the Lord says, where two or three are gathered, I'm in their midst, right? You know, when we gather like this, the presence of God easily manifests. Because it's a command that he said, that where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. But he's also commanding us to have a personal relationship with him. It's not just enough to come here and encounter God corporately. Though some corporate encounters are individual, but God wants us to individually have a relationship with him. We have to walk with God daily. We have to walk with God daily. Like a reference somebody said, I heard somebody say, he gave a reference, he said, look, we are in the days where people who want to sleep, they make sure their phones are charged, right? There are people who, if they don't charge their phones in the night, when they get up in the morning, they'll be sick because they'll be like, okay, I need to charge this thing. We have chargers in our homes. We have chargers in our vehicles. We have chargers in our traveling bags. We have chargers in our handbags. We have chargers in school, our places of business. We have chargers at our workplaces. We will not put chargers on the door there. We will not. But we have chargers everywhere. Why do we have chargers? Because we do not want our phones to run down. Why don't we want our phones to run down? One, because we want to be in constant communication. Anybody who wants to reach us, right? Some others have their phones. Their phones have social media. They scroll with their phones. They'll watch all YouTube shorts and all that stuff. The phone has become a powerful tool in the world today. A powerful tool of distraction and advantage. We make sure that we have our phones charged. If we put the same effort that we do to get our phones charged, to charge our spirits, we will not be at the same level. We will be the answer for this world. I am telling you, out there are souls yearning for the true worshipers of God. There are people yearning for somebody who will show them the way to God. While they are waiting for you to tell them about Jesus, maybe they don't even know that you are a believer. They don't. There are souls out there, when they identify that you have Jesus, they will come after you for something. Because the world has offered a lot of things and people are still empty. So empty. Right now, everything is, the slightest thing you do is on social media. And before you know it, you've become viral. That's how people operate these days. News surrounds it. It hovers around this. What was news today or yesterday is history today. Because something has come and replaced it. It's so quick and fast. People want things. People consume. We are in a generation where we consume a lot of data. Unnecessary data that don't edify and don't build. They don't build. And it's a tool the devil is using even for believers. As believers, we should not be so in tune with the world as to know whatever is going on in the world. God wants us to know whatever is going on in the spirit. To be able to identify situations and come up with solutions. To be able to tell your colleague and your friend who is going through difficulties, say, can we pray? Do you want me to pray for you? Let us pray. Intimately acquainted with God. We have so many promises in this, our confession for this year. So many of them. They are so wonderful. There's a cry that God has for us these days. Your promises are there. They are settled. You have them. There's only one thing I want from you. I want you to be acquainted with me. Intimately. I want you to know me. I'll give you a test. When you get up in the morning, what's the first thing that comes in your mind? Answer it in your head. When you get up in the morning, what's the first thing that comes in your mind? Is it What kind of food are we going to cook? Am I going to cook today for the house? Or where am I going to? That issue I had at work, how am I going to solve that? Let me see. I think this solution is the best. Or what's the time? What's the schedule for the kids today? Let me try and see. You see how your brain begins to work and you ask yourself, it's just there. Things are there. There's always something. But it should not be like that. When you get up in the morning, your joy should be, oh, let me meet my God. Praise the Lord. There's a reason why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added. In the morning, you seek first God's kingdom, his presence. Seek God's presence consistently, and I bet you will be a blessing to everybody who comes your way. I have my commitment. When I meet you, we will not talk politics. When I meet you, we will not talk about my job. What I would like us to talk about is something I learned from God through my encounters with God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's the word of God. You've not seen the Bible? Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Because why? I have noticed that if you engage with what the world wants you to engage with, it will become Ecclesiastes, a vexation of the soul. You have enemies. You will have people hate you for nothing. You even hate some people for nothing. I hear there was an article I saw where somebody said, I decided not to talk with my in-law because he was inclined to this party. But I came and realized that he was good at, and he could teach me. I was forced to go and make him back friends. And when I went back and I asked him to teach me, I realized that, but why did I even do this? So I'm missing a fellowship with this man because of his political inclinations. And he was like, we should not do that. I'm like, preach, brother. You know? But when we get up in the morning and we seek God first, what does that do? It prepares us for the day. It prepares us for the day. There are situations where you have gone through and you have gone through, you've wrapped your mind, and there is no solution. The moment you come before God and you forget about it and you worship God, when you want to go, God says, oh, wait, there's something you need. And the solution just comes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because you've honored God's presence first. Yes. Brethren, the thing is, God is so interested to see us succeed. He is so committed to make us succeed that we think we can do it by ourselves. And we go through much pain because we always try to want to do it by our own selves. We think we have a better way of doing it. We think we can help God. But that's not how it works. What God is saying is, come to me, worship me, and I'll take care of everything.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I'll take care of everything.
Amen.
So how do you think you can create consistency with God? How do you think you can make this consistency, worshiping God, fellowshipping with God? How can you realize it? There are four things that God wants us to be consistent with. The first one is consistent in prayer. Praise the Lord. What is prayer now? This is not a young believer's Young Believers Class. No, this is not Young Believers Class. We all know what prayer is. But are we consistent in our prayer life? You know, our pastor always says, in our life we pray a lot. It's true. You know, opening prayer. You know, there's vision prayer. There's prayer. There is a prayer on Mondays, the first Monday of the, or second Monday of the month. It's prayer. That's corporate. But how about the personal prayer? Your personal life. When you have an issue or you want something, do you go to God and pray? Do you talk to God? What is your prayer life like? If Jesus had to show our prayer lives on the screen, how will it look like? Will you put your hands on your face and say, I'm embarrassed that's me? You have to be consistent in study of the Word of God. How often do you study God's Word? Like I said, these things, we've talked about them before. The pastor has even emphasized on these things before. But I will not mind if the Holy Spirit wants us to still talk about these things. It means that there is somewhere, somehow, we have not yet picked it up. We are missing out of good things. How is a Bible study like? Like the pastor said, now that there is no Bible study on Wednesday till August 6th, are we going to say, yay, Wednesday? Oh, this is wonderful. Relax on your sofa and maybe do some things that you have wished to do in the past just at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Is that what you're going to do? Why don't we just put that time aside to get deeper into God? To go through, there are so many messages. This is July 20th. There are so many Bible studies that have gone through, series upon series, that we can still go back and still go through, and we will still be blessed. Amen. Amen. Are we consistent in worship of God? Worship, there's corporate worship, as we've said. But have you ever spent time alone worshiping God? Do you spend time alone worshiping God? Do you spend time alone thanking God? Are you going through something and you just say, you know what? I just have to praise the Lord. This, you know, just burst into worship. 1 hour, you're only worshiping God. No prayer, no asking. Just worshiping God. When was the last time you had a worship bonanza with the Holy Spirit? When was that time you were just there in your closet, nobody looking at you, only you and God, but you are worshiping God, lifting up your voice, singing, whatever tune you are singing, that one now you know, you are just worshiping God. Yes. Amen? When was that last time you did this? Consistent in worship. And the last one is consistent in obedience to God. If we had to look at your obedience, the things that God has told you to do or not to do in your life, as a family, as a husband or a wife, or as a student, your obedience to God. In this one, it's so personal that God has things he tells you in your private. Maybe God wants you to stop certain habits, certain associations. And he's been telling you, say, this is not good for you. This thing is not good for you. There's no benefit for this thing that you are doing. Or maybe you have a problem with somebody. And God is saying, you need to reconcile. You have to be consistent in your obedience. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to be consistent in your obedience. This morning, God is calling us to be consistent in our obedience to the things which he has asked us to do, and we've been pushing. Maybe God wants you to fast, but has been asking you, fast. I want you to fast for this particular thing. You've been pushing it aside. You've been pushing it and pushing it. Maybe God wants you to read the word or share the gospel with somebody, a neighbor, a friend, a colleague. You've been like, I'm not sure this one is for me. God is calling you this morning to obey. Praise the Lord. God is calling us to obey. To obey. To be intimately acquainted to him. In knowing him personally. In walking with him on a daily basis. And to have an intimate friendship with him. To have an intimate friendship with him. Let's close with Philippians 3:10. I would like it in the Amplified version. Let's see what the Apostle Paul said. You have Philippians 3:10. Do we have Amplified version? Okay. I like it in the Amplified version. The King James is short. It's the King James does not really give. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Now it says, for we Christians are the true sect. No, that's 3:3. Philippians 3:10. Yes, there was something. Good. Good. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same. Yeah. Let's go back to 10. Philippians 3, yes, this one. Thank you. For my determined purpose. He said his determined purpose. He had purpose to know God. Now, this is somebody who on his way to Damascus had an encounter, which I'm not sure there was anybody recorded in the Bible who had such an encounter. On his way to Damascus, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ where he fell and became blind. Blind. You know, in this day, in today's day, such an experience will lead to a church. And they will call it Damascus Encounters Faith Tabernacle. I'm telling you. They will call it Damascus Encounter Faith Tabernacle. That's how wonderful, that's how significant it was. Jesus revealed himself to Paul. But then he's saying here that even though I encountered Jesus in Damascus on my way, I have one determined purpose in my life, is that I might know him. The Jesus who encountered me in Damascus is not just enough. He wants me to know him more, progressively, become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Today, some of us will have that encounter and people will not drink water. Right? We will sing about it. We will talk about it. But the Apostle Paul did not just, if you see in the Bible, he mentioned it just when he wanted to explain to the other apostles that I have a mandate. The Jesus that you saw physically visited me and encountered me. That same Jesus also encountered me. Just as a proof that, look, I also have a mandate. But after that, he was telling people, I encourage you to know God. There was, I think there was one of the messages that says, when I was with you, I determined only to know, it was in Corinthians. And when I was with you, there was only one person I determined to know, it was God. I didn't want to know your best food or restaurants. It's only God. I didn't want to know your best parks, the best places to go and fish. It's only God. It's only God. That is the identity that God wants us to have in the world. The world has to see us as lovers of God. That is just it. People must look at us and say, why does God count so much for you? And then you have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. You know, in John chapter 11, when Jesus met Martha, remember, when Jesus met Martha, when Lazarus had died, the Bible says in 11 verse 17, say, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary's to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know, that's her confession, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now Jesus said unto her, Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I think Martha did not understand that. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus asked her. What did she say? She said unto him, yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which will come into the world. The confession of Martha that Jesus was the Christ is what the world wants from us today. The world has to come to us. Say, why is your life different? What makes your life so different? You are not like the other ones. There's something different about you. It's not for us to start and say, oh yeah, I got God. No, use it as an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Because you are not where you are today because of the grace of God, because Jesus Christ came and transformed your life. That's another opportunity for you to have a testimony. When Martha had this testimony of Jesus, little did she know that she was triggering resurrection for the brother. You know, Jesus always wanted to know, what do you think? What are the people saying? Oh yeah, they are saying that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah that was of Elisha's. Okay, but what do you think, Peter? Tell me, what do you think? Do you have a testimony? What is your testimony about Jesus? Can you share Jesus Christ on the go? Somebody picks you up and says, hey, why? What is so different about you? Don't tell him, wait. You are looking for the pastor's number. Where is Pastor Muyiwa's number? somebody wants to know about Jesus. No. You should be, or you ask ChatGPT. You are supposed to be ready in season and out of season. If you don't have a testimony to talk about Jesus, then you need a testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then you need a testimony. But we have a testimony, amen. Amen. We have a testimony. Amen. We have a testimony. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we also have a cloud of witnesses. Amen. They are looking. They are looking. Let's stand up on our feet, please. We have a cloud of testimony. Praise the Lord. God is calling us for a life of consistent intimacy with Him. God does not want us to beep Him. It should come to a time where after 1-2 days you've not encountered God, you start feeling empty. Something in you tells you something is not right. And you begin to understand that something is not right, not because you have not eaten. Something is not right, not because you don't have a solution for that problem at your job site. Something is not right, not because there is this bill that is coming up and you don't know how to pay it. No, something is not right because you have missed the presence of God. Your soul is telling you, I long after God. My soul yearns after God. My soul desires God. I just want to know God. Him and only Him do I want to know. I will saturate my mind, my intellect with God. The desires of my mind, the inclinations of my heart will be to know God. I will have a testimony as a lover of God. Praise the Lord. Begin to pray this morning and ask God. Tell God you want to come back to that consistent intimacy with Him. You want to be intimately acquainted with Him. Tell Him you want to come back to that place where time with Him in His presence you long after more than everything. Where your mornings are filled with praises to God. Your mornings are filled with fellowship to God. Where you want to wake up early and meet God first before you meet man. That will be your desire. And that will be what will happen in your life. You want to be intimately acquainted to God on a personal level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is desiring that we walk with Him like Enoch did. God wants us to talk to Him. God knows, somebody sang and said, God is already at the end of our life. So He knows everything that we are going through. If there is an obedience, something that God has been telling you to obey, tell God, I want grace. He has given you that grace. And go and obey. And go and obey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And because you fellowship with God, the life of God will flow through you. And it will touch anyone who comes around you. The life of God will flow through you. And it will touch your family. Those that have not yet given their lives to Christ, the life of God will flow through you. And they will surrender to Jesus. The life of God will flow through you. And it will touch your neighbors. Because they will see something in you that they don't have. They will see something in you that they cannot explain. And they will come to you and you will tell them it is just Jesus. It is Jesus. It's not you. It's not any doing of yours. It's just that you have Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we exalt you this morning. This is your word. We accept it, Lord, because you are calling us this morning to come back to a life of consistent fellowship with you. You are insisting
that we should be intimately acquainted with you. This is what you want, Lord. This is what you're calling us to be separate. I pray that we will live this life of consistency. We'll begin to live it in our lives. We will be consistent in our fellowship with you, in loving you, in prayer, in studying of your word, in worship, Lord, in obedience. We pray, Father. Thank you for your word this morning again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.